Morena, good morning, everybody. Our first reading is from Psalm 37, verses 1 to 11. As most of us know, the book of Psalms is a collection of poetry and songs and prayers composed about 3,000 years ago, arising out of the personal experience of the writer. We are allowed to see into their private world, sometimes hopeful and joyous, sometimes angry and shouting, always honest and engaging with God. This psalm expresses quiet confidence in the Lord God. We need to hear this today in our contemporary world. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong, for like the grass, they will soon wither. The green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu atawarua ki te hahi. Thanks be to God. Kia mau tonu tāna kupu kia tātou. The Holy Gospel, according to Luke, chapter 6, beginning at verse 27. Praise and glory to God. Te whaka moi miti, te karoria, ki te atua. Our second reading is a change of pace. Jesus is teaching his followers with the crowd leaning forward to listen in. The message is typically pungent, confronting, and counterintuitive, and life-giving. Jesus seems to be saying, if you're serious about following me, then listen up. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if everyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But Love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is the gospel of Christ. Te rongopai tēnei atakaraiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoe me te tia ia, te kupu mana.
Thanks, Robert. And thank you for the lovely introductions to the readings there. Kia ora, everybody. How you doing? All right. Ka pai. Good to see you all. This is a wonderful, wonderful reading. But a couple of people have spoken to me before the service saying, you know, how tricky it is, how important it is. But, you know, it's pretty serious, isn't it? It's pretty weighty. It's really juicy and it's really good. So there's a lot that we could cover in this, and Jesus says a lot of things, but we don't have time to go through all of it, I'm afraid, in one little short sesh now. So I'm just going to focus on the beginning and end, as it were, but it's all the way through, really. So forgive me if I miss out the bit that you're like, yeah, but what about? But I think one thing is, and that's love your enemies. Just love your enemies. But I think one thing is also, if we can't understand everything that Jesus is on about, and none of us can understand everything, of course, but the bits we get, if we can put those into practice, if we can live those out, the bits we get, then I think we'll be on the right path. And I think the other things might start to fall into place bit by bit as well. Anyway, that's an aside. All right. Jesus says, love your enemies.
Pray for the person you
do. Yeah. Who are our enemies? I think that's the first question, isn't it? Who are your enemies? Who are my enemies? Who are our enemies? Do we have enemies? What counts as an enemy? Who do we see as enemies? Do we sometimes define ourselves by our enemies? I'm not that. And that's how I know what I am. Or I don't stand for that. I stand for this. And that's how I know, by what I oppose. I need my enemies almost, you know, to define myself, to define who my position. Because I know that position is wrong. You know? I don't know. Who are our enemies? Who are your enemies? Who are my enemies? Are they the people that have wronged us? Is there anyone here who's never had anyone wrong them? We're all in the same boat, aren't we? We've all been wronged. Is there anyone here who's never wronged anyone? So it goes both ways, doesn't it? That sword cuts both ways. Are our enemies those who have wronged us? Maybe they are, yeah. So, and there are people that have wronged me. Maybe they're my enemies. Yeah? Are they the people that speak badly of us? Maybe. Are they the people that hate us? Are there people that hate you? Are there people that hate me? Maybe, one or two. I don't know. So who are our enemies? Are they just the people we disagree with? The people that are causing the wrong in the world. Who are our enemies? Well, Jesus says, love your enemies. Now, this is so tricky, but I'm going to do it. I've said this, this is the third sermon that I've said this. So if you haven't managed to catch one, here it is. And if you have, this will be a slightly different take on it, but the same thing. We live in a world, as we know, where we are being almost forced into two camps on any issue. All right? So I'm just going to put up this graph, which is St. Luke. No, it's not. There we are. So this is a normal distribution curve. Many of us will know this, otherwise known as a bell curve. But pretty much, this the idea is here. Pretty much on any issue, whatever it is, in this church, it's very likely that there's going to be a big chunk of us somewhere in the middle on that issue. We might be actually a little bit more over this side, but we're certainly not an extremist on that issue, you know, or we might be a bit more over this side. Or we might actually just, well, I haven't really figured that one out yet. I'm just not sure where I can see that this is a big issue in the world today or in the church today or whatever. But I'm not really sure yet. I would like to learn more before I make a decision about which side or, you know. And then many of us are like, well, this is so complicated. You know, think of some of the issues that divide us. The issues about right and wrong and, you know, or whatever. Not whether it's something in the world today like Israel-Gaza or whether it's something like in the church that we're very, you know, like abortion or like... whether it's a race issue or whether it's something to do with work and poverty and destitution and, you know, privilege and whatever it is. Whether it's something to do with the environment and global warming and, you know, climate change and science and, you know, denial of science and, you know, all... These are really big live issues, aren't they, for all of us? Are they? Yeah. And there are many more. We could chuck out so many more. On any one of these issues, many of us will be that sort of, it's on this graph, it's 66%. That's, if you, you know, that's a lot of people in the middle there who will be like, yeah, you know, and some of us will be further that side, some of us will be further that side, some of us will be in the middle, some of us will be, I don't know yet, I want to know more before I make a call. Are we happy with that? Is that, yeah? And then some of us will be quite decided, you know, down one end or the other. We'll be like, actually, I have a position on this, and I know what my position is, and I can argue it. I can tell you why I believe this. And not that. And some of us will be on the exact same issue, the exact opposite position, and able to say, look, I disagree with that, and here's why, and I can argue this, and blah, 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 blah. Does that make sense? But some of us, and it's very few, but they'll be in most crowds... On whatever the issue is, some of us will be like, I've hitched my wagon to this thing. I am 100% right. And anyone that disagrees with me is 100% wrong. And I can prove it. I've got this scripture. Or I've got this fact. Or I've got this quotation from that politician or whatever it is. And... For those people, and they'll be the same on the very opposite side, on that same issue, no, it's this. That person is wrong. And they'll be saying that in such a way that it's a win-lose. You know? So we will have people like that on either side. I think wherever we stand on any issue, and again, like I say, many of us somewhere in the middle, but many of us leaning towards one side or the other, and some have decided, no, it is this, and I cannot. And some are like, this is a, you know, a right wrong thing, and how you answer it is basically whether you go to heaven or not, or you know, that kind of thing. It's that extreme. God loves everyone on that spectrum. God loves every single one. God loves everyone on that bell curve, on that normal distribution. God loves the whole lot and wants to see. He died for everyone. He wants to see everyone saved. God wills. The Bible's got, the New Testament's got two words. Greek's got two words for the word will. My will, you know, God's will. Both those words are used to say God wills that all be saved. You've got to make of that what you will. But God wills that everyone be saved. I don't know how that's going to work out, but that's what he wants. That's his desire. And salvation does not come through having the right or wrong opinion on any of those subjects that we have controversies about in the world today. Salvation comes through knowing Jesus. That's it. Through knowing Jesus. I'm going to get to heaven. I'm not saying I'm going to get to heaven, but you know what I mean? I hope I do. But if I get to heaven, I'm going to get there being wrong on a whole bunch of things. And so are you. Let's be honest, eh? God's not going to go, oh, mate, you know, I knew you, you know, we knew each other, I love you so, but you had the wrong opinion on that thing. You hitched your bandwagon to that one or that one. I really wish that, you know, but sorry. You know, that's not happening. So love for enemies, Jesus says, we will have enemies. Some of us are going to find ourselves on one end or the other sometimes. Like on most issues, we're probably somewhere. But one or two of us are going to find, you know, I'm going to find myself, I'm a little bit more down here, to be honest, on that one. Or I'm a little bit more down, you know, I really don't want to hear you say that stuff because it really makes me angry on that issue. Can't you see X, Y, and Z? I'm just being honest. You know, if you found the right issue, you could come up after the service and push my buttons. There's probably only one that I can think of, to be honest, but you would really hack me off if you could. What was that one? I can't believe you brought that up, Roger. Robert. Robert just said about Star Trek, Star Wars. Is it science fiction or fantasy? I'm sorry, but there is a 100% correct and 100% wrong answer on that, as you know, Mr. Nugent. yeah. You know, yeah, apart from that, there's another thing that could push me. Now you're going to try and find it, aren't you? Is it this? No, I'm all right with it. You did it. But I have to love everybody. And I have to love my enemies. I have to love those who I disagree with, if that's who my enemy is. But I also have to love those who have wronged me. I have to love those who do speak ill of me. And I have to love those who hate me. Tricky, eh? So how do we do it? Well, Jesus gives us a way. But can we just, on that bell chart, recognize as well that just in the current climate and current culture, we are being pushed, whatever the issue is, to make a decision and to try. People want to get us down into that 12% or that 0.5% on that side or that side. They don't want us in the middle. And obviously, you know, the algorithms and everything that drive us on the internet don't want us on in the middle, being fuzzy, or even being opinionated in the middle. They want us down the ends because then they can make money off us through advertising. That's all it is. That's what social media is, a big advertising gig. It's got its plus side beyond that, but it's driven by the market, by money, and therefore they need us in a camp. Does that make sense? So be careful. Don't rush to one opinion or the other. There are never, almost never anyway, there's almost never just only two sides to anything. There's often a lot of middle ground, a lot of nuance to whatever the issue is of all the ones we've just been talking about and thinking about. There's often a lot of kind of middle ground. But if we want to hitch our bandwagon to one end or the other, please let us be careful not to think that that's a salvation thing. Because being right or wrong on whatever the issue is that we think is a salvation thing, if it's not Jesus, we've pinned our bandwagon to the wrong thing, to an ideology, to an opinion, to a decision, to a being right or wrong on it. Please, please listen to what Jesus said when they came to him and said, "But it says it in Leviticus. It says it in Leviticus," they said to Jesus. "It's a right wrong issue, 100%. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. "If there is a man who commits adultery with another man's wife, one who commits adultery with his friend's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death." And they said that to Jesus. And so they said, are you going to stone her? Yeah? It's a right wrong issue. And it says it in Leviticus. We have it in black and white, 100%. We get to kill her. You can't go against the Bible, Jesus. And Jesus says, and this is the key to the whole thing. This is the key to the whole bell curve, especially to the extremes. If we find ourselves, and sometimes we do, on one end or the other, this is how Jesus unlocks us, unhitches our cart from that thing. He says, "He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone." Sure, go ahead, stone her. Be absolute black and white. Be right and wrong. Quote the scripture and say, "This has to happen. I am on the right side." But you only get to say that if you're without sin. You only get to cast the stones, to make the judgment, to say the final call, to stand in the position of God and say, "I know 100% that this person deserves this." That, you know? Sorry. Does this sound a little bit confronting? Forgive me. This is how Jesus helps us. He says, look, she who is without sin, let them cast, you can get to cast the first stone. And then that's how we go, "Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm not without sin. Oh my gosh, I'm in the same boat as everyone else. I need your mercy, same as everyone." It's you that we hitch our wagon to. It's you that are the one that saves us. It's our salvation is through you. It's not through being in the right position on this bell curve. That's how we can love one another. It's the only way we can love one another. It's only by the grace of God, by Jesus' help, like giving us this casting the first stone, you know, here as well. It's only actually by recognizing our need of Christ, our own sinfulness. It's only when I see that I've got sin in my life that I don't get to judge others. Does that make sense? There's a quote from a chap, St. Siloan. Actually, I've got it. It'll come up. I'll just read that. He says, "I beseech you, put this to the test. When someone affronts you or brings dishonor on your head or takes what is yours or persecutes the church, pray to the Lord and say, 'O Lord, we are all your creatures. Have pity on your servants and turn their hearts to repentance.' And you will be aware of grace in your soul." It's this idea of being all in the same boat. I've found this prayer really useful when people have wronged me in incredibly grieving and damaging ways. I'm going to actually memorize that prayer and I'm going to start praying. This is one of the things Jesus says, isn't it? He's very practical, Jesus, about loving your enemies. Jesus doesn't say, "Feel warm and mushy for your enemies. Feel kind of a little bit cuddly and cozy and, you know, be nice to your enemies." Mm-mm-mm. Jesus says, "Love your enemies." And he said, and you go, "What do you mean? What do you mean?" And he says, "Well, I'll tell you what I mean. Do good to those who hate you." Oh, that's very practical, Jesus. So I just have to do good thing. It's not about my feelings. Just do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. But they're just saying all this. Yeah, well, say good things towards them. Just say good things towards them. Speak goodness and truth and love towards them. Okay, that's quite practical, Jesus. That doesn't involve my feelings. And pray for those who mistreat you. So, this prayer I memorized and I prayed for those who mistreated me. And they mistreated me. And we're all like that. We've all had those experiences. And I prayed, "Lord, we are all your creatures." Oh yeah. He's your creature too. She's your creature too. I'm your creature too. You made us. We're your creatures. We're all in the same boat here. Lord, we're all your creatures. Have pity on your servants. Because you love them. You died for your enemies. When we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet enemies. That's the kind of love God has. Love for enemies. So, have pity on your servants and turn their hearts to repentance. Because God wants to have mercy on all. And he extends his mercy to all. And we resist by having unrepentant hearts. We won't receive his mercy because I don't need it. Well, I'm not repentant. I haven't got anything to repent of. I did not sin there. So, well, then I can't receive forgiveness for it, can I? But if I turn my heart to repentance, then I can receive his forgiveness, which is always on offer. Never not. Always merciful, God is. Always. To all. To me, when I'm being rebellious, he's merciful. And if I want to receive that forgiveness, I have to turn my heart to repentance. And so I pray that for my enemies. And I pray, "Lord, have pity on your servants. Lord, we're all your creatures. I'm not perfect." I know they're not perfect. But actually, we're all your creatures. I'm not perfect either. And you love us all. You made us all. Have pity on your servants. Because, mate, they're going the wrong way. Have pity on your servants and turn their hearts to repentance. And when I pray that prayer, I do find grace in my soul, actually. I have found grace in my soul again and again. So let me recommend that to you as a way of putting into practice a very practical thing that Jesus gives us to do to love our enemies. Just pray for them. Bless them. Speak well of them. I mean, you've got to be honest sometimes, and, you know, if it came down to it, you've got to say, no, that was wrong, what they did. Yeah, and I'm happy to say that. Otherwise, I can't say turn their hearts towards repentance. You know, actually, yeah. I think I didn't put the marker in where I meant to, but I wanted to just, there it is. I just wanted to read one other thing, and then we'll finish from here. I just find it really helpful. The one who has the Holy Spirit within them, in however slight a degree, sorrows night and day for all humankind. Their heart is filled with pity for all God's creatures, and more especially for those who do not know God or who resist him and therefore are bound for the fire of torment. For them, more than for himself or herself, he, she prays night and day that all may repent and know the Lord. Christ prayed for those who were crucifying him. Did he really pray for those who were crucifying him? Yeah. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And St. Stephen prayed for those who stoned him, that the Lord lay not this sin to their charge. And we, if we wish to preserve grace, must pray for our enemies. So I think that's good, eh? We'll finish with that. And maybe I'll just say a little prayer. Lord Jesus, you are the only one that can save us. Forgive us for where we hitch our wagon to anything else other than you. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, where we judge others and not ourselves. And Lord, in your mercy, give us grace, because we can't do it without you, to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, to bless those that curse us, and to pray for those who mistreat us. And we just pray for your help with this, Jesus, because you are our Lord and our Saviour and our Redeemer. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.